Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yathah Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There are different types of holy places which can be classified according to the gods who are worshipped, principally the gods who are principally worshipped in those holy places. They're not all tirthas per se. This whole discussion is going on under the rubric of the name Tirthakar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, who makes tirthas, who holds tirthas in his hands. But some tirthas are more specifically known as dhams, and apart from the tirthas, there are also the shakti pitas. If we're going to talk about different gods, well, the main gods who are worshipped are Vishnu, Shiva and Devi, and Ganesh worship is that Shiva and Shakti worship is part of one bigger genre, if you put the two together. And then Ganesh worship comes with that in that same category, and Murugan, Kartikeya worship also comes in there. But the places of Shakti, they're not called tirthas, and I'll discuss that later. There are different kinds of holy places according to the different gods which are worshipped there. But there's another way that we can classify or consider different kinds of holy places, just like the river, that already discussed, rivers, mountains, temples, but also how they came to be there. That's also another way of considering. The holy rivers, we understand, they descend from the upper worlds, Ganga especially, from the lotus feet of Vishnu, and then comes into this world. Tripada, what is it? Tripada Gamini. She travels in the upper worlds, where she is known as Mandakini. And on this earth she's known as Ganga, and in the lower worlds. When she goes to Ganga Saga, Ganga meets the Saga, but she goes down. She's known as Bhogavati in the lower worlds. So that's one way of holy place can, or holy man. The rivers, they come from up to down. Or Parashuram Kshetra is retrieved from the sea. Get back. Just remind me, there's a... Shall I throw it in? The story of King Canute, famous in English folklore. A king who told the sea, when the tide was coming in, told it to go back. And it's thought that either he was very puffed up and thought he could actually tell the sea to go back, and of course he couldn't. Or another explanation is his subjects were so adoring of him, they thought he could do anything, and he wanted to show them that he couldn't. So there are two different explanations. But Parashuram actually did it. So Parashuram Kshetra, which is from Gokarna to Kanyakumari, almost. The land nowadays known as Kerala, and much of coastal Karnataka. They can just come out of the earth. Jyotirlingas. The 12 Jyotirlingas, beginning with Kedarnath in the north and Rameshwaram in the south. Plenty of self-manifested deities here and there. Close by here, we have in Namakkal. Nrsimha decided, I want to be here. So he came. Or there's another kind who the deity just decides he wants to be there. He's been taken from one place to another and decides, I want to be there, and goes down and doesn't come up again. Ranganatha Swami is very famous like that. Govardhan also is like that. Or the Shaktipitas, they're parts of the body of Kali. Little bits and pieces. Here is her nose. Where's her nose? Nasik. Here is her, the place, this is really Shakti, Tattva, or how the place which is considered most sacred to the Shaktas is at Kamrup, Guwahati nowadays, which is her vagina. That's real Shaktism, isn't it? And then little bits of her body was all over the place. So they become Shaktipitas. In Gujarat, there's part of the Himalayas got transported there. We have Ganga comes up in different parts of India. Just like at Ganga Mata in Puri. So the Ganga came up. It's just close to Gambhira, huh? In Puri. The Ganga Mata's Talab. And then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's house is just right there. So Ganga came for her. And there are others also. Actually, all the major holy rivers, possibly with the exception of Yamuna, they're all considered non-different from, they all share in the divinity of Ganga. In Chitrakoot, there's Gautami Ganga. Kashi is very famous as a very holy place. So also, here in the Tamil Nadu, we also have Kashi, right? Tenkasi, Southern Kashi. So, like that. And so coming down, let's discuss. Coming down, Avataran. We know the word avatar. So holy rivers, holy places come down also. Generally we think of the word avatar. Well, when we think it, we think of Ram, Narsimha. Some people may think of Meher Baba, Sai Baba. They don't know. They're wrong. They're going down, not sure, but they didn't come down from up, but they're going down. So in that sense, when they go to hell, they could be, but everyone in hell is an avatar, right? They all came from above, but that's not generally what we call an avatar. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur praises Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Jibe Daya Kari Shaparshada Shriya Dham Saha Avatari. He praises him that Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, being merciful to the fallen jivas, descended with his associates, they're also avatars, and with his holy dham. Now the holy dham of Navadvip is none different from Vrindavan, eternally existing. When everything in the world is destroyed, that part remains. So there are some places which are eternally existing. When at Brahma's day, when it comes to an end, then everything is destroyed. But Vrindavan and some, and then Navadvip also, Kashi, some places, they remain. What's that verse? Sa'evayang bhutva bhutva praliyate. What's the first word of that verse? Bhutagramam sa'evayam. Everything in this world, it's all comes into being and destroyed. But then, there's part which is not destroyed, which is parastasmatubhavanyovyaktatvyaktasanatanaha yasasarveshu bhuteshu bhuteshu nashatsu navinashati. There's something else which is not destroyed. So the although they appear to be part of this world, therefore Vrindavan, as we see in this world, is called Bhoma Vrindavan. They're in this world, but actually they're not part of this world. So when this world is destroyed, everything is destroyed, but that part remains. And even at the end of Brahma's day, when the whole material cosmos is wound up and enters into the body of Vishnu, then Vrindavan is not destroyed. It's a different nature altogether. And the whole process of purification of Krishna consciousness should bring us to that point of being able to see Vrindavan actually as it is. Tobehama Herabo Sri Vrindavan. Bishoye Charya Kobe Shuddha Hobe Man Tobehama Herabo Sri Vrindavan. Narottam Das sings that when my mind is purified by giving up desires for material enjoyment, then I'll be able to see Vrindavan. And I say, well, you can see Vrindavan. I went to Vrindavan. I saw this. I saw Keshi Ghat, Vangshivat, Dwadasha Kanan. I saw. But real seeing means to see premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva. To see with the eyes of love. And such a person sees Vrindavan always and everywhere, even without going there. So Navadvip is non-different from Vrindavan. Different and non-different, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is different and non-different from Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Ekale Ishvara. So his holy dham also is non-different, and those who have the eyes, they can see Adapi ho jilila kare gorarai kono kono bhagyabane deki bare pai. Even today, persons who are very fortunate, they can see the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going on in Navadvip, Navadvip Dham. So avatars, they come down to bring us up. And the Tirthas, they act in a similar way. We're on this side and they're to take us to the other side. Crossing over into the spiritual world. That's the best kind of tirthas, although there are tirthas for sense gratification, where you can cross from the idea, you go to, or according to people's consciousness, they may go to a holy place where they could be delivered to the spiritual world, but instead they want sense gratification. So they cross over from this earth to the heavenly planets. And you see, most people, they go to Tirupati, the place of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ask him for material benefits. Like the woman whose bundle of sticks on her head fell down, and being a pious woman with no one to help her, she called out, "Govinda, Govinda, Govinda," in distress, and not expecting Govinda to come. Govinda came, "What do you want? Put these bundle of twigs on my head again." Instead, she could pray for the nectar of his lotus feet eternally. But most people, even calling Govinda at Tirupati, we hear, "Govinda, Govinda!" People call out with feeling. But asking for material benefits is like asking for the bundle of sticks to be put on their head. But no, no, I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for my business will flourish. Yeah, bunch of headache, big bundle on their head, bundle of unnecessary thoughts. It's a great burden to carry, but still if people carry it on their head because it's necessary, they need that, either to sell it to get some money or to light their fire so they can do cooking. It's required, but it's only required as long as we're in this material world. If we can get out of the material world, then why bother with all such things? Another example is the man who pulls boats. The boat on the river can go very easily downstream, not very easily upstream, but they have to come upstream also. We're talking, so sailboats, if there's no wind blowing you upstream, then you can have people with oars who are rowing the boat. Or another system is you have a strong rope and attached to the bow of the boat, the front of the boat, and you have a strong rope, and then you have a strong man pulling that. And I've seen in Bangladesh, which is a nadi matrik desh, full of rivers, and until recently river transport was, still is, but less so nowadays. It's a major means of transport for passengers, for freight, and everything. So I've seen that in the hot sun, the man with just something to, just covering his loins, cloth, and covering his head, and pulling his body completely black from being in the hot sun, pulling the boat. Hard work. We're not talking about a little dinghy here, we're talking about freight boats. You know, so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example that someone is pulling the boat and dreaming that maybe I'll get rich. And then what I'll do? This path I'm walking on is so rough with all stones, I'll make it nice and smooth. Then you'd have another problem. The sun would be more, because they're going barefoot, the sun. But anyway, if you're accustomed to that, you can get thick skin on your feet so you don't feel anything. You see, these people who do this kind of work, they have very thick skin on their feet so they can step on thorns even and they won't feel it. The thorn won't go inside. So most people go to Tirthas, they're supposed to be crossing into the spiritual world, but they cross into the heavenly world. That's what they aim for. Or even they just cross over some immediate misery. Oh, I have so many problems with this heat rash. I feel like there are needles sticking into me all the time. I went to so many doctors, they couldn't help. Let's go to the temple and pray. Maybe that will help. No harm. So you can pray like that. Or get me over this immediate difficulty. Srila Prabhupada told what he'd heard from one of his German godbrothers. This is in relation to the First World War, which Germany lost. I think it was called Prussia at the time. Not sure. Doesn't matter. So at that time, feminism wasn't so strong, so the men used to go and fight and get killed, and the women stayed back. And they didn't get killed so much. In the Second World War, they stayed at home and they still got killed by aerial bombing. But still not as much as the men. Aerial bombing of civilian targets. So the women were at home and praying to God. That, dear God, we love you very much, and I also love my husband very much, and my father very much, and my grandfather very much, and my brother very much, and my son very much. Send them all back. And they didn't come back, most of them, so then they all became atheists. They didn't get what they wanted. And on the other side, some of their men came back. Some of the men came back, and Srila Prabhupada also gave the example that the thief is praying to God. The thieves also worship, in at least in Vedic culture. They have their own deities, Kali mostly, or some version of Kali. Some version means you find all over India, the Shiva and Amma, they have their own personal local names, apart from main temples, like where they have their some official name, or the original goddess, you could say, like Meenakshi here in South India. So they also see in India, where before the dacoits go and kill a bunch of people and rob everything, they do some puja for its success. They may kill an animal. Yeah, you have to, if you have to Kali puja, you have to kill an animal to get her mercy. That's the idea. It's very tamasic. If you can get a human, even better. From their point of view. So the thief is praying, God help me to steal and not get caught. And the householder is praying, oh God, please protect me from the thieves. And Prabhupada says, God is perplexed. You have to out, maybe the thieves have to out puja the householders. They have to do more pujas. And then who can win? They're all fools. We're all fools in this material world. But the Tirthas, and this is an important point which I'll get to, I don't know how long, it may take a couple of weeks to get to at this speed. The important is, we need to associate with those Tirthas, those sadhus who point us toward the spiritual world. When people go to holy places for various ideas. Now, I shouldn't get into all the individual stories, otherwise it's too much. The story of the descent of the Ganga. It's quite a long story in Mahabharata, in Bhagavatam, in brief. There are many stories in the Bhagavatam which we get in brief, which are told in more detail in other shastras. But of course, that's also Even if you have a long description of how Ganga came down, she didn't want to come, and then Shiva takes her on his locks, and then she gets caught in Shiva's hair. She comes out in seven streams. How the whole story with Kapila Muni, and then Bhagirath, and it's a whole big story that's described in, there's many Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata is told again and again and again. But she's there now. But she won't be there always. She wasn't there always, and she's not going to be there always either. She's only here for a limited time. But anyway, it's quite a few thousand years, so she's not going away very soon, despite all efforts to canalize her, take her water here, there, and everywhere. So we don't get Ganga water here in South India, do we? Well, Vishnu Charanamrita. Ganga is a big river of Charanamrita. So we have from water that washes the lotus feet of Gaur Nithai, Shalagram. Also, in Shiva temples, there's above the linga, there's always a pot with drop, drip, 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 drip. So that's also comes on Shiva's head, and goes, so it's also Ganga, can be considered Ganga. So Ganga expands herself, or water which is as good as Ganga is elsewhere. Narmada comes from the body of Shiva, the source of the Narmada. Godavari came by the prayers of Gautam, descended from the higher worlds. There's a whole story behind that too. If you go to Triambakeshwara near Nashik, you can hear that whole story. It's told a little differently. It's something that some sages were envious of him, and they made it appear that he killed a cow. They made him kill a cow accidentally, and he had to be free from that. I don't remember all the story, and it's quite long also. Rivers are especially pure and therefore powerful. The power of a tirtha is in its purity. Purity is the nature of the spiritual world or of the higher worlds, where there's no influence of the lower modes of nature or less influence. So the purity is the force. The power of a holy place is due to its purity. It means the power is in purification. How can we cross from this earth planet to the heavenly worlds? We have to be purified. Tarvidyamam somapa puta. What's that word? Puta. By purified. Vitaragabaya krodha manmayamam upashritaha bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavamagataha. So the whole idea is to cross over. We have to become purified. So those who follow the course of the three Vedas and they perform sacrifice, yajna-rishtva swargating pratyante, with the idea of performing yajnas and going to the heavenly worlds. So they have to become purified so they can do that. When we talk about purification in Krishna consciousness, we mean being purified even from the desire to go to the heavenly worlds. But for the Karma Kandis, their idea of purification is We'll get free from our sinful reactions so we can go to the spirit and get enough punya, then we can go to the spiritual world, to the heavenly worlds. So the holy places, they're a shortcut. It's really difficult to do all those sacrifices. First of all, you have to be a brahmana, and if you don't happen to be born in a brahmana family, then you're out. Actually, kshatriyas and vaishyas can also do to some extent. The kshatriya can have it done by becoming the major yajnas, the really powerful big ones. The big ones means more purifying, because more brahmanas, more things put into the fire. It's almost like a calculation. So the kshatriya, the big king, he becomes the yajaman, the person who has the yajna done on his behalf by the yajniks, the brahmanas. So the idea is that we can become purified so we can enter the heavenly planets. But the holy places, they are in themselves pure, so it's a shortcut. And then if you do yajnas at a holy place, then you get more benefit. But then again, we hear that chanting the holy name even once is more than performing any number of Ashwamedha yajnas, the most powerful yajna at Prayag, which is the most holy place for performing yajnas, supposed to be one of those places which is special for yajnas. Prayag, of course, is just the very fact that it's Prayag, the joining together of rivers, that becomes very pure and special and sacred, that place where the two pure rivers, holy rivers, join together. And Prayag Raj is the most, considered the best of all, because there you have three rivers, three holy rivers. Ganga and Yamuna we can see, Saraswati we can't see. She comes underground, so we don't see. So wherever there are prayags, sangams, or the coming together of two rivers, or a sangam is where the river meets with the sea. So these places are considered especially holy. So that's another kind of holy place. So far we got the descending holy places. Then the rivers, such as the rivers, and when the rivers join together, and actually Ganga, if you see, there are many big rivers which join her, Yamuna, and then Shun, Sarayu, and then Brahmaputra, Tishta, but the main flow of the Ganga, if you see on the map. This is west, and then comes south like that. But the main body of water flows east, or would do if the Faraka barrage wasn't there. The main body goes into the what's now Bangladesh. But that's not Ganga, that's called Padma River. And that's considered impure. The actual Ganga takes a 90-degree turn. That was Bhagirath, took a turn. So it went down to Navadvip that way. So that Padma is considered impure, and if you bathe in that river, then you lose your pious results. But good luck. Narottam Das appeared there. And Nityananda went before his appearance to keep Krishna Prem there. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there, and he would bathe in the Padma. So now the Padma is all purified. So we can bathe there and remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda and Narottam Das. So holy people can make holy places also. And a good example is Vallabhacharya, who, if we see in North India especially, there are so many what are called Vallabhaitaks, or places where he sat. He didn't just sit, but he would, places where he sat and delivered talks on Srimad Bhagavatam. And sometimes it happens, I'm in a place and I don't know, and say, oh, there's a Vallabhaitak also. That happened last in, when we were in Pushkar, we were doing Harinam Sankirtan around the town as it is now. When I first went, it was, couldn't really be called a town, it's just some kind of village, but now it, like so many other places, it's become a town. So I went in a restaurant for Lagu Shankam, and they were Vallabh Sampradayi Vaishnavas, and I was talking with them, and they had pictures of Srinathji, and so I said, oh, there's also a Vallabh Baitak. I said, oh, really? And we went there on Harinam also, with our Harinam party. That was after the day after everyone had left. We did a little tour. We went up to the Brahma temple, Harinam tour. So we also went there, just not far from Pushkar Lake. So like that, all over, we'll find. One of them, which was visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Vallabh was there also, was at Arayal, just at Prayag, where the two rivers meet, and in that little wedge there is Arayal Gram, where Vallabh not only sat there, but he lived there. His house was there for some time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited there, and that's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So actually, we should make the places, well, the Prabhupada visit, actually that's there. There are many of Prabhupada's rooms which are in his temples, which are preserved in different places. In Vrindavan, most famously, and Mayapur. Also in Bhaktivedanta Manor in London. In Melbourne, Australia. Probably some other place. It was in Hyderabad, but it was, someone had the brilliant idea to change it into something else, into an office. Hopefully that will be rectified. We hope so. Anyway, I can't think of it. Los Angeles, of course. In Los Angeles, Prabhupada's rooms are there. Other places, Prabhupada's palace. He never was personally there. He's there all the time. Prabhupada is there. Prabhupada's palace in New Vrindavan. There may be some other places which I can't think of. Maybe in New Mayapur, they keep, probably they keep Prabhupada's rooms there. New Mayapur in France. And I didn't make notes. I'm just trying to scour my mind now to think of. Juhu! Yeah. Juhu. Prabhupada's rooms are there. Delhi Chippewada. Yeah. Before Prabhupada went to the West, he used to frequent that place and stay in that place. So that's been acquired by devotees also. As far as I know, they still don't have, at 26 Second Avenue, Prabhupada's apartment is behind the storefront, which you'd be surprised how small it is. It's like a train carriage in India, or so, not even that big. And it's like that shape also. But Prabhupada's residence up behind that, that still devotees don't have that. Another place devotees would like to get, well, that was there, Prabhupada's rooms at Radha Damodar in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada said that you should keep that always, but somehow due to what can I say, mismanagement. It's not in the hands of ISKCON anymore. But another place devotees want to get, but that may be difficult. Prabhupada lived for some time at the Vamsi Gopal temple at Keshigat. But you can't even go and see because people are living there now and they don't want a constant stream of pilgrims. Of course, if they charged 50 rupees or something, they could make a business out of it. But anyway, for some reason, we're not able to get that. Maybe in future. If it's still there, if they don't demolish it and make a shopping mall or in the meantime, we don't know. bit out of order here. Ganga, especially at Prayag, is meant for liberation. We hear about Chota Haridas. He performed suicide by immersing himself in the waters of Triveni, another name for Prayag. Triveni. Veni means a strand, like the strands of a woman's hair. So the three come together and then they mix. So like that, then just like in the women's hair, the three strands mixed. So Chota Haridas, finding no other alternative, he drowned himself there with the idea that one gets liberation by dying in a holy place. However, Srila Prabhupada explained that dying at a holy place doesn't automatically liberate one. Kumbh Mela is famous, the drops of nectar. But the drops of nectar, the nectar that the demigods got from the Samudra Manthan, churning the ocean of milk, that was the nectar by which they could become immortal. They became amara, non-dying. It's a hoax. They do die. But only after a long time. Therefore, they're called deathless. Sometimes that argument is used when this word anadi is used in relation to the jiva's sojourn within this material world. Krishna bhuli sajiv anadi bahirmukh. We are in material existence, inimical to Krishna, anadi, without beginning. But the form Krishna bhuli, it's like the Sanskrit form. It's like kritva, doing something, you do, then you do something else. Snatva, taking a bath, then you do something. So there's a Krishna bhuli, forgetting Krishna. The jiva has been in material existence since time, since unbeginning. So sometimes said like that, anadi, unbeginning. Just, it's a long time. So amara, you don't die. You do die. So anadi can mean there's some beginning, but we forgot it. No one knows. Like the tree of the material world. Narupa masyeha tato palabhyate nanto nanto pratishta nanto nachadeya nachasampratishta. It's just all over the place. You don't know where it's beginning, where it's end, what's the actual original trunk. You don't know. It's just, you can't trace it out. So that's also can be said like that. So Srila Prabhupada explained that by coming to the holy place and taking baths, especially on the specific time, the holy days, Kumbh Mela, the door to liberation gets opened. The door is open, so you have to go through it. He said, if you're trying to, Srila Prabhupada explained, if you want to go in a room and the door's closed, you can't go inside. If the door's open, you can go inside. But you still have to go inside the room. So if you go take a bath in Ganga, Prayag, at the time of Kumbh Mela, then the door is open for you to cross over to the spiritual world. But if you come back and then start smoking bidis like so many people, or engage in other, or maintain materialistic desires, then you don't go. That's another example we find Bhaktisthan Saraswati gave. That someone, he's inside a room with everything completely closed. So no light comes inside at all. And he's saying, I don't believe in the sun. Show me the sun. You're talking about the sun? I don't believe there's any such thing as the sun. They say, well, there's someone outside. He says, come outside, the sun. No, show me here. So he can easily see the sun, but he doesn't want to. He's a rascal. Srila Prabhupada told a story, and getting off topic a little bit here. Two frogs. They were big professors. You've heard Dr. Frog. Well, there's more than one. This time we have two Dr. Frogs. Dr. Frog, PhD, double, from gold medalist from Oxford, and Dr. Frog, MBS, QPD, YXZ, etc. So they came to the conclusion, you heard people talking about God, there's no God. We don't believe there's any God. So they hopped around and they found, here's a stick. You think it's God? No. Can't be God. Then hopping around in the marshland, they came to a rock. And they jumped up on the rock. Do you think this is God? No, no such thing as God. No such thing as God. Then they jumped and they jumped. And they came to something. They both landed on something which was shaped a bit like a wedge with bony protrusions, with web in between. I looked up. It's a stalk. I said, do you think this is God? And before they could answer, he'd gobbled them. The stalk had gobbled them both up. So if you don't want, then the theater can't help you. One of the most famous residents of Mathura in history is Kamsa. He was fully Krishna conscious. How many times? If in your dream you see Krishna, you think, wow, I'm becoming really spiritual. He did it all the time. Wow. And he was living in Mathura. But it was not bhakti. So that's another point to get through. I got through about one page of notes today. So you have to get through to the point of the attitude on pilgrimage, which just started a little bit here. So regarding getting liberation at Kumbh Mela, when Srila Prabhupada went there with his disciples, he went twice actually. Once there was an Ardha Kumbh Mela, and then again But what I think the first time he went, I think, you're not supposed to say that, right? So Srila Prabhupada, he told his disciples that everyone is here to get liberation. But Prabhupada said, we are already liberated. We are here to preach. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are already liberated. Ek Krishna Nam Kare, Sarva Papa Koi. So we got liberated four times over by chanting the name of Krishna four times. So what does that mean? We can go and do a whole bunch of sin because we enough sin for three lifetimes because we got liberated four times. So no, can't do that. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Tirthakar Bhagavan Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.